Oh, this weekend started off like any other. A few football games to get through the afternoon, maybe some college basketball. And then there was the bad, bad scene in my living room Saturday night in living rooms of Mizzou fans across the country. Bill Wolf, who is my loving husband.
Yeah.
And to the rest of the world, the former disembodied voice from ESPN's Around the Horn. Bill, I did not bring this up all day on Sunday. Did you notice? I did
not. Waited until now.
I did not speak
when everyone could hear
about Missouri falling to Oklahoma 38-17.
Boy, they fell. They fell down the stairs. They fell down all of the stairs of the Empire State Building.
I just want to share this quickly. One of Bill's taunts as he's watching, we had friends over, barbecue, I cooked, made some cookies. He started yelling at Oklahoma, "You were mean to the Native Americans. That's why you should lose."
Yes.
That's
absolutely
my favorite taunt of the night.
Well, I'll make no further comment.
So what happened? Why did Mizzou lose?
They're not as good.
Bottom line?
Bottom line, they're not as good. So everybody knew they were not as good. Remember that Missouri, who was ranked number one in the country because they had only lost once and had beaten the previously number one team, Kansas, was actually in Las Vegas the underdog in the game. So I think most people expected that they would lose. I held out hope that they would not. And I thought maybe it would be close, and it was for a little while, and then it wasn't. When Oklahoma simply has many more great players, particularly on defense. So Mizzou, plus Mizzou in the charter, in the University of Missouri's charter, it has a clause about torturing me. And for 41 long years they have. But I can't complain. They had that brilliant game Thanksgiving weekend where they won and brought me great joy. So I'm already over it. It's fine.
All right.
And it has resulted in an interesting situation in college football.
Well, sort of interesting. We've been talking on this show since we started about the topsy-turvy world of college ball, where teams that weren't in the top 10 suddenly were launched to the top. And now we're back to the status quo with Ohio State at number one.
Yep. It's really interesting. Well, to me, and I hope to college football fans and folks who are just becoming college football fans, this season was unlike any other, as you just said. Teams like Missouri and Kansas and West Virginia, who weren't accustomed to being in the very top of the rankings, were, because every week some great team, Michigan, Ohio State, LSU, Florida, all these great teams that everybody knows about, would lose unexpectedly. And the writers, the national media, became dissatisfied. Suddenly they were angry. Coming into this last weekend, they said, well, if the national championship game is Missouri, whom we've never heard of, against West Virginia, whom we don't like, well, that's not good enough. That's not fair. They're not the two best teams. This stinks. This whole system stinks. College football stinks. Well, West Virginia lost to Pittsburgh, which was a gargantuan upset. They were ranked number two. Missouri lost to Oklahoma, which really wasn't an upset. And so, in the championship game on January 7th, it will be everybody's favorite, Ohio State, against LSU, who was also everybody's favorite. So after all of that and the kvetching and the complaining of the national media, thanks to all of the upsets and all of the tumult, which started at the first week of the season when Michigan lost to Appalachian State and continued until the last week of the season, which was Saturday night, it will be two of the teams we expected it to be, Ohio State and LSU, for the national championship. So after all that, we're back where we started.
I want to take 1 minute to talk about when I went to bed last night. We were watching the Giants versus the Bears, and Eli Manning was looking like a lost kid out there, like lost quarterback in aisle four. But somehow he managed to pull it out. Yep. I read in the paper this morning. What happened?
Totally true. Well, what happened was that this is the New York Giants football team.
His name is Eli.
Well, Eli's older brother is called Peyton, and Peyton is the most famous player in the league, and he's totally great. And Eli was expected to be as great, and he's been less great for the Giants. And as you said, Allison, he was absolutely awful for about 65% of that game. But in the end, Eli got it together. The New York defense playing against Chicago kept Chicago from pulling away. If Chicago had capitalized on all of their chances to make the game lopsided, Eli wouldn't have had a chance to redeem himself. But in the fourth quarter, Eli went crazy. Eli was terrific. So he was crummy for most of the game and then got it together, and the Giants pulled it out in the last minute and a half.
Is the cat okay?
Is that Sonny Liston?
Cat's fantastic. Cat wants me to pay more attention to it, but I won't because I'm a pro.
All right, we've got about 3 minutes left. You can pay a lot of attention to the cat in the next 3 minutes, after the next 3 minutes.
Okay.
All right, in pro sports, we were talking about this in our morning meeting last week, and I know you and I have talked about this, that one of the biggest pro games in recent weeks, Patriots versus Cowboys, was on the NFL Network. But
no, it was the
Packers.
Packers, I'm sorry.
Versus the Packers.
Sorry, Cowboys versus the Packers. And people, not that many people got to see it.
Right.
But it seems like a no-brainer that the NFL would have a license to print money and lots of cable systems would want to carry it.
Yeah.
But why only the sporadic pickup?
Well, I think partly because real estate on cable systems is precious. You know, despite the fact that there are 9,000 channels, it's hard to get to be one of the channels. And because the cable companies, and that's Comcast and Time Warner and Cox and Cablevision and whoever it is in your local area, they are essentially operating as monopolies in their own areas. We live in Manhattan. We can only get Time Warner. So for us, Time Warner is the monopoly. And so they have power over networks. They can say, no, sorry, don't want you. And that's what a lot of cable systems have said to the NFL, and I think that is against expectations. I think that the NFL, when they started the NFL Network, assumed any cable system will take us because we own the NFL, which is the most valued commodity in entertainment.
But they're subscribers.
But they haven't. And so only 30% of the country has the NFL Network, and so everybody missed the Cowboys-Packers game, including me.
Won't that be a law of supply and demand, though? Won't football fans say, hey, if the NFL keeps putting on these blockbuster games, hey, we want to get this channel, do something about it?
That is certainly what the NFL thinks, and I agree. I thought when the NFL Network started, it was a genius idea. Why not be the distributor? You own the commodity. Why not also distribute it and get all of the advertising revenue and cable fees for having distributed it? I think in time, fans will demand that their cable systems put the NFL Network on. But for the moment, it's a big war between two giant and enormously profitable companies, the cable companies on the one side and the NFL on the other side. It ain't about the fans at this point. It's about these guys and the billions of dollars they stand to make.
Well, like you said, you thought that the NFL Network made a lot of sense initially. The Yankees have the YES Network, both big brand names, sports franchises, creating their own networks. Do you think it's a smart business model for others to follow suit?
I think it depends on what team you're talking about. If it's the Yankees are always good, and they have 20 million people who want to watch the Yankees, and therefore the ratings on their network, which is called the YES Network, will be high, necessarily. If you were the Pittsburgh Pirates baseball team, the Pittsburgh Pirates baseball team hasn't been good in about 15 years, and even when they're good, the city is not obsessed with the Pirates. And so if you are the Pirates and you start a network, now you get the advertising revenue, of course, but you assume the risk of a TV network, which is to say you got to pay all the people who put the games on, you got to fly all the cameras everywhere. You know, you take the capitalist risk, and if your team's not that great and your market's not that good, not that big, it doesn't make sense. I think it depends on the market. If you have a winning team with a captive and giant audience, then it makes absolute sense. If you're not a winning team in a market that doesn't care that much about your product, the Oakland A's are another one. They're a winning team, but the market doesn't care. It doesn't make sense. So I think it all depends on what the product is.
Former ESPN producer, current cable news executive, so he knows of what he speaks. Mm-hmm. Bill Wolf. Thanks, Bill.
You got it.
Go Tigers.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
Next year.
Sorry, buddy.
All right.